Turning on our Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. And we're going to read just the first seven verses of the chapter together this morning. Joshua 13 and the first seven verses. The Word of God says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite. Five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites and the Ashdothites, the Eshcolonites, the Gittites and the Ekronites, also the Avites. From the south all the land of the Canaanites, and Mera that is beside the Sidonians unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, the land of the Giblites and all Lebanon, toward the sun rising from Baal-Gad under Mount Hermon unto the entering into Hamath, all the inhabitants of the land of the hill country from Lebanon unto Misrephoth, Mayim, and all the Sidonians. Them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh." Amen. We'll finish there. We're finishing in the middle of a sentence, but we have got the gist of what is being said here in this passage of Scripture this morning. And we're continuing on, as you will know, in our series in the life of Joshua. And we're looking this morning at what defines our usefulness. What defines our usefulness. In the last study that we looked at, we noted that God had given victory. We noted God honoured obedience, and we noted that God granted rest to those in the land. The northern campaign had taken place. It had begun. It had gone on for a period of around 7 years, and the children of Israel had battled to the extent where they now largely possessed the land that God had promised to them. And we noted, whenever we looked at that last week, that Joshua presents for us a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who left nothing undone. And we saw how that was the case. Every word that God had promised would be accomplished. Every word that God has promised through Christ will be accomplished. And we also noted that for the child of God, while the battle might be hard, this battle had gone on, these battles had gone on for a long time, but the end was absolutely worth it, because it tells us at the end of chapter 11 and verse 23 that the land rested from war. And for us as God's people, we have that promise of eternal rest. We have a promise of eternal hope and eternal peace. Now we're moving on, and what happens now as we come to the chapter that we've come to? It may appear that we've skipped over a chapter, but chapter 12 really is a review chapter. It's reviewing what has happened in the previous chapters. We're moving into the second section of the book of Joshua now. When we come to Joshua chapter 13, we come into the second main section. And whenever you read the two sections, if you were to set them up alongside each other, one looks much more exciting than the other. One's much more interesting than the other. The first section that we have looked at up to now certainly has more that would draw our attention. It appears to be much more interesting because the battles are all taking place and all of these great events are happening in the life of the children of Israel as they seek to possess the land. But whenever we come in now to chapter 13 and you start to read forward, it doesn't appear to have the same excitement in the passage, in the passages of Scripture as we move through to the end of the book. And the reason for that is because when you come to chapter 13, a major part as you move on through the book is really just the division of the land. It's how the land is to be divided to the various tribes, how they receive the inheritance that's to be given to them. So the other thing that happens when you come into this second part of the book from a preaching point of view is it doesn't lend itself very well to verse-by-verse exposition and digging into the real depth of every single verse. But I am sort of convinced myself this week, but that's okay, that we're looking at a study in the life of Joshua. And so therefore, it's okay that we can pick out various learning points as we work through. And as we work through these next chapters, we'll be picking out a number of learning points and we'll work through them in that way. So that's what we're doing this morning. We're starting at chapter 13, verse 1 down to verse 7. We're coming to a particular point in the life of Joshua now. Remember that Joshua is one of only two people who came out of Egypt and who has come into the promised land. There was Joshua and there was Caleb. Because of the disobedience of the children of Israel, because of how those who had come out, you remember how they were condemned to wandering until all of those who had come out of the land, who had believed the lie, they had passed away and the next generation would inherit the land. But Joshua and Caleb were entering the land and have now entered the land because they had been faithful to God. If you think back to Joshua chapter 1, the opening verses of the chapter, you find there the promises that God had given to Joshua with regards to how they would take the land and what would happen when they took the land. They would be given the land, they would possess the land, but they would only possess the land because God had promised to give it to them. It was nothing to do with them. It was nothing to do with their strength. It was nothing to do with their ability. It was all to do with the fact that God had promised. But whenever you come back to Joshua chapter 1, there's a promise that's given in Joshua 1 and verse 5. And it's specific to Joshua. It says in Joshua 1 and verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." Five times in that verse, we see that God speaks personally to Joshua. He speaks about Joshua as an individual and he makes this promise. He says, "There'll be none able to stand before thee," and he says, "all the days of thy life." The reason I'm referring to that verse is because when you come to chapter 13 and verse 1, it starts off with a statement. It says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years." That's what I want us to think about today. I want us to notice that Joshua here, as he's entering into the later part of his life, into the latter years of his life, the statement is there. We can't avoid that statement. We can't avoid the truth of that. And as we look at this verse 1 this morning, there's a couple of important lessons that I want us to think about and to learn from this. The first thing is this: age doesn't define our usefulness. Age doesn't define our usefulness. It says in verse 1, Joshua was old and stricken in years. Now, what age was he? Well, I believe he was at least 85 years of age by this point in time. Now, we know that they lived perhaps slightly longer in general than what we would live now. But nonetheless, Joshua was 85 years of age. He's likely to have been the oldest of all of the people who inherited the land. We know that because it could only be him or Caleb. And it's a 50-50 chance, and he's the leader. I think he probably is the oldest. As the people grew in number and they grew in strength during their time in the land, Joshua, as he was there, and as God has empowered him, and as God has strengthened him, and God has equipped him for every battle that he had to fight, nonetheless, time hasn't stopped indefinitely. Time was going by. Joshua was growing old. They were all growing old. But Joshua was older. It's interesting that the statement about his age is made twice in this opening verse. You find it, first of all, as just a statement for information. This point of information, Joshua was old and stricken in years. And then it says this, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years." You know, if somebody came up to us and said to us, "Look, you're old and stricken in years," we maybe wouldn't take it too well. Sure, we wouldn't. We wouldn't maybe think that that was something that we wanted to be reminded about. People don't like to be reminded that they're getting older. Some people get very touchy about their age and they don't want to get old and do what they can to look younger and to appear to be younger than what they really are. That's just a fact of life. But God comes to Joshua and he just says, "Joshua, you're old and you're stricken in years." Now, God could say that to Joshua because Joshua's time was in God's hands. And he had the ability, he had the authority because his time was in God's hands. In the Bible, we read time and again on a number of occasions about those who died at a good old age. It tells us that about Abraham. It says that he died at a good old age. It says it about Gideon. It says it about David. That same theme comes through. And the fact is that our days are numbered by the Lord. Joshua here is told by the Lord, Joshua, you're getting old. You're old. Joshua already knew that. But God tells him it. God reminds him of it for a reason. And we're going to come to the reason why God reminds him of that fact. Now, whenever we read this verse and we read the word stricken, it conjures up a picture in our minds, doesn't it? It makes us think about a picture of someone who maybe isn't really fit for very much activity anymore. Someone who is perhaps a very old person, maybe struggling with mobility and the impact of advancing years and all the rest of it. But actually the word stricken there doesn't mean what we imagine it means. The word stricken there literally or simply means that he has been brought to those years. You're old and have been brought to this age. That's literally what the word means. The picture is that he's old, but he's been brought there. He's been carried there. He's reached that stage of life because God has brought him there. Those years have been given to him. And if we take that principle, if we take that thought about the fact that those years have been given to him, then again it puts the idea in our minds that the years that we have are years that have been given to us by God. How are we using them for him? How are we using the time that we are given for the Lord? The one who has given us those years. The one who has brought us to that stage. The Lord has brought every one of us to a particular day and a particular time. Every breath that we have comes from him. Every moment that we have comes from the Lord. We don't make ourselves to be the age that we are. Sure we don't. Some people maybe are going to try and do that in the future because everything seems to be fluid these days. And maybe they're going to start saying age is fluid. And you can choose to be 25 years younger than what you actually are. And maybe some people might like that. I don't know. But here's the thing. We can't decide what age we are. Our age is determined for us. We don't make ourselves to be the age we are. God has numbered our days. So what's the purpose of this statement about age? Well, it's wrapped up in what Joshua hears from God in the next number of verses, down to verse 7. You see, the point is this. While time has passed by, while he's been engaged in a work for the Lord, while he has journeyed through the wilderness, and then he's been the one who has led the people over the River Jordan, while he's led the people in battle, while he has been there during all of those campaigns, the point is this. There was still a work to be done. Look what it says in the verse. God said unto him, the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. There remains still a work to be done. Sometimes we can become weary in the work. We can be weary in well-doing. We can look around us and we can think there are other people who are better equipped for the work that God has given us than we are ourselves. And sometimes when that comes upon us, we start to think, well, maybe it's time for me to step aside. Maybe I've done my time. And it's time for me to step aside and make way for someone else. Someone who's got more energy. Someone who has more ability in your eyes. Someone who is more able to take on all of the weight of the task. Maybe sometimes others will come along and they think that it's up to them to decide whether we should make way from the work that the Lord has given. As many of you know, I like watching sport. You know by looking at me that I don't like playing sport anymore. But you know that I like watching it. And particularly, I like watching rugby union. So this time of the year is very good. For me, if I can get the odd illustration out of watching the rugby, it's always a good thing. So last Saturday, not yesterday, but last Saturday, Ireland were playing against Wales in the Six Nations, the first match that they played. And the Welsh coach had been brought back in. He had been the coach for a number of years, and then he had stepped down. A new coach came in. Wales weren't doing very well. So they brought back the old coach. And the first thing he did was he decided to go back to the older experienced players that he had had in his team a number of years back. And he brought them all back in. He banked on their experience. And it didn't work because they were well beaten. So this weekend, just yesterday, Wales were playing against Scotland. And the Welsh coach decided, right, I need to look to the future. So he took out a number of those older, very experienced players, and he replaced three men who were in their mid-30s. Doesn't sound very old, but in rugby terms it is. He replaced three men in their mid-30s with a 21-year-old and two 23-year-olds. And they were beaten even more soundly when they brought the younger players in. Now, he would say that he was looking to the future. He was planning for the future. It's called succession planning. He was looking to the time when those older players would no longer be available. And sometimes that's the mindset that we have in all sorts of things. That happens in all areas of life. Sometimes it should happen. Sometimes it shouldn't happen. And I don't know whether Joshua was feeling his age or not. I think he was because of the way the statement is presented here in verse 1, where it just says that he was old and stricken in years. And as I read this opening verse of chapter 13, I think that Joshua maybe was feeling it. He was feeling the weight of the work. He was feeling his age. And then the Lord simply says to him, Joshua, I know you're old. And I know you're feeling it. I know you're feeling the weight of it. I know you're feeling your age. I know you're feeling the burden. I know you're feeling the pressure. But here, Joshua, I have something to tell you. There's still a work to be done. And you're still the man to do it. There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. So God's encouraging Joshua here, and he's saying to him, look, you are still able. Because you're the man who I have chosen to take forward this work. You're the man who I have chosen to serve me in this regard. Why was Joshua able? He was able because God told him he was able. He was able because God enabled him. He was able because the Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him in the work that God had given Joshua, then the Lord was going to equip him for that work. The Lord was going to sustain him for all that remained in the work. Remember what God had said to him. He'd be with him all the days of his life. No man would stand against him all the days of his life. Over in Isaiah 46 and verse 4, we have a lovely little promise there for the people of God, of the presence of God in the journey of life. Here's what he says. He says, even to your old age I am he. And even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. That's a promise for every child of God. At any stage of life, old or young. And it's not always just those who are of an older age who feel the weight of the work and who feel that they don't have the energy anymore and they can't carry it forward anymore. It's people at all stages of life. But if it's a work that God has given you to do, then it's a work God has given you to do. And you have to be prepared to engage in that work. You have to be prepared to take on that work, to press on in that work, to continue in that work. Why? Because God is the one who will carry you. It's a promise for us all. From life's first cry to final breath, God will be there for his people. Joshua was feeling his age. Joshua was perhaps weary. Maybe he was questioning whether he was still the man to lead the people, whether he was still capable physically. And all of these different ways, was he able to do the work anymore? Maybe he's saying, do I have the ability to lead these people? And God says, press on. Press on, Joshua. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're questioning your usefulness for the Lord. And it's maybe because of age. It's maybe because of weariness. It's maybe because of the weight of this world. I don't know. But what I can say to you is this much. You're not the only one who ever felt like that. We've all felt like that at some point in time in the Lord's work. You're not alone in those feelings. Anyone engaged in the work of God at times finds themselves questioning whether they're able any longer, whether they can continue in that work. And you don't have to be old to do that or to feel that. Although it is likely that the older you get, the more you'll question it. That's a statement of fact. I want to encourage you this morning to know that the Lord knows. The Lord knows how you're feeling, just as he knew how Joshua would have felt. He understands that we all at times get to this point where the burden feels too great. We don't know whether we have the strength. We don't know whether we can bear it. Of course, the psalmist reminds us that we're to cast our burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain us. So we know that. We know all of these things. We have this head knowledge of all of these things. How often do we lift that head knowledge and take it across and say, Lord, I'm holding on to it. Because it's not just head knowledge, it's a promise. It's the word of God to the heart of the child of God. Maybe this morning you're sitting in your seat and you're thinking, well, I actually don't have the physical energy anymore to engage in a frontline work the way I used to. And we understand that. That is a reality. But that doesn't mean the Lord still doesn't have a work for you. Because you can engage in a work of prayer. You can engage in a work of encouragement. You can engage in a work of support for others. But I want you to notice as well that not only is there encouragement that the Lord is aware, and we know the Lord was aware because God told him, I know that you're old, and I know that you're feeling it. But there is an expectation that Joshua will press on in the work. You see, in the verses here, down to verse 7, God isn't just saying to Joshua, you're old, there's a work to be done, I know that, so don't you worry about it, Joshua. I've already got somebody lined up here to replace you, and I know I give you that work, and you haven't finished the work, and I've got someone else. When you read the history of the children of Israel after Joshua dies, it's sad. It's sad to see that it wasn't the case that there was those who came in behind, and that's not because of a lack of God's involvement in things. It's not because of a lack of succession planning. It's not because Joshua stayed too long in the work. It's none of those things. It's very simply that sin entered the camp. The people rebelled against God again. And when the people rebelled against God again and started to look round at the world and looked at the other nations, the Word of God tells us that ultimately they came to this place where they demanded a king. We know that that happened, and then Saul was anointed as the king, and the downward road continued from there in many ways. But the point is this. Joshua had authority over the people because God gave it to him. Not because Joshua grabbed that authority by force, but because God gave it to him. Joshua's position was his because God gave it to him. It was Joshua's role not just to go in and lead the people as they possessed the land, but it was Joshua's role after they had possessed the land to divide the inheritance. We see that in verse 6 and verse 7. It says here how the people, or all the people in those lands would be driven out from before the children of Israel. And then here's what Joshua has to do. Divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now, therefore, divide this land for an inheritance. The command was given to Joshua. It was Joshua's role. It was for him to do. Not just the possession of the land, but the division of the land. You can go right back to chapter 1 and verse 6, where God says to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance a land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God gave him a job to do. And he had to finish it. The possessing of the land, that wasn't the completion of the work. The division of the land, that was the task that God had called him to do as well. God had brought him to this point. And God says to Joshua, he says, I know you're older, and I know you're weary, and I know you're feeling the weight of this, but Joshua, listen, you need to lean on me. You need to take strength from the fact that I have promised. You need to take strength from the fact that I have said to you that you are going to divide this land. You need to hold on to the promises of God. You need to hold on to what I said to you all those years before, whenever you were about to go into the land. And I said you're going to possess the land and none will stand against you, but you're also going to divide the land. Joshua had to hold on to that. And while there were these pockets of resistance in the land that you read about from verse 2 down to verse 6, they had to be included in the division. So they had to be possessed. But God has said they're going to be possessed. He says, I will drive out from before the children of Israel. So that's going to happen. What's God saying here? What is the word of God saying to us? He's saying to Joshua, you don't need to worry about anything else. You just have to press on. I know about your age, but you have to press on. He wasn't worried about, God wasn't worried about what Joshua's view on this was. I think we need to understand that. Sometimes we think our will, our view, our desire is more important than God's. And it's not. And the sooner we understand that in life, the sooner it makes life a whole lot easier for us as the people of God as we seek to serve God. God wasn't worried about how Joshua felt here in this regard. He wasn't concerned about whether Joshua felt the pressure or not. God was encouraging him to press on, to be strong, to rely on the Lord because he had a work to complete and God would equip him for that work. Now that might sound quite harsh, but folks, that's the reality of it. Joshua, you're old. I know you're old. I know you're weary. I know you're tired. I know that the weight of this is pressing on, but Joshua, you still have a work to do. And we lose sight of that today. We lose sight of that because we live in a world which is like a pressure cooker. It's such a pressurized society. And there's all sorts of messages coming in from the world. And the world says this, that, and the other. And sometimes the church adopts these viewpoints. And we get bombarded with these things. Listen, folks, let me say something to you. The most important message, the only message that we need to listen to is this. If God says it, that's what matters. If God says go, we go. If God says do, we do. I'm not interested in all those messages from outside. Do you know there's times that we are to come apart and rest a while? Sometimes people forget about that word a while. They just come apart and rest. We're to come apart and rest a while. That doesn't mean we stop the work completely. Sometimes we move into a different sphere of service. Sometimes we move into a different environment of work for the Lord. But we're just to rest a while at times when we take a break. Listen, I'll be honest. I look forward to my holidays. You have no idea how much I look forward to my holidays. And the closer I get to them, the more I look forward to them. I look forward to them because I'm looking for the rest. And the older I get, the more I feel the need of them. But you're coming apart to rest a while because the work's still there. And you come back, and you're coming back, you return, and you feel hopefully refreshed and ready to engage in the work, to press on in the work that the Lord has given. To engage in that work in the strength of the Lord. Joshua was given rest, you know. Tells us that. We thought about that last week in Joshua 11 and 23. It says, the land rested from war. He was given rest. There was a season when he didn't have to engage in the battle to the same extent. But now he's being encouraged to press on because the work still had to be completed. Beloved, it's the same for us today. Whatever our work is that we're engaged in for the Lord, we need to remember that if the Lord has led us into that work, if we're truly laboring for him as he has led us, then we need to continue to engage in that until the Lord leads us to no longer be involved in that work. There are many things that we should do as Christians. We're commanded to love others. We thought about that on Thursday night. To love those in the fellowship. We're commanded to do that. That's non-negotiable. There's a commission to reach others. We have a responsibility to do that. There's a call to serve others. We have a responsibility to do that. But all of those different things, they're all to be done unto the Lord. And there's a work to do for the Lord. And we're to do that. Age doesn't define our usefulness. I want you to see what does. It's attentiveness to the Lord that defines our usefulness. Look what it tells us here in verse 1. Joshua was old and stricken in years. So that's where Joshua is. Think about that. Joshua was old and stricken in years. That's where his mind was. That's where his heart was. That's how he was feeling. And then what does it say? It says, and the Lord said unto him. He was attentive to what God said. God confirmed how Joshua was feeling. But then God told him, you still have the work to do. You still have to labor on. Colin Peckham writes that God had assigned the work of dividing the land to Joshua. We've already thought about that. That is his. It's Joshua's role. And it's clear from the verse here, as we read it, that the only thing that was important to Joshua was what the Lord had said. Because he just makes a statement. And then he just says, the Lord said unto him. And he continues on then with what the Lord had said. There's one sentence by Joshua here. The rest of it is what God has said unto Joshua. He's old. He's feeling it. The Lord confirms it. He acknowledges it. And then he says, but you need to give yourself a shake because there's still a work to do. This still needs to be done. Divide this land for an inheritance unto the 9 tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh. God's very defined about the work that he gives him to do. He tells him, Joshua, do you remember what I told you you had to do? Well, here's what you have to do. He defines it. And it's Joshua's work. And the Lord knew that. But there's something very important. It was Joshua's work because God gave it to him. It wasn't Joshua's work because Joshua chose that it was his work. It wasn't Joshua's work because Joshua decided that this is what he was going to do. It was Joshua's work because God told him. And it was to be done for the Lord. It's not about Joshua. It's not about Joshua elevating himself to power. It's not about Joshua taking a position to himself. It's not about Joshua's pride. It's about the Lord. It's for the Lord. It's so that the Lord will be glorified. And as you read through the chapters towards the end of the book from chapter 13 on, you'll see that Joshua engages in the work of dividing the land and dividing the inheritance. And it's a difficult enough work in its own way. There's no battles involved in it to the same extent. Yes, there's a bit of sweep up to be done, but largely speaking, it's almost about negotiation. Trying to tell the people, this is what the Lord has given to you. And sometimes people look at it, and even when it's the Lord who gives it, I'm not sure if I'm happy with that. But Joshua was just dividing the land as the Lord had said to him. In Joshua chapter 23, and we'll come to this later on again, but we find again reference to Joshua being old. It says there, he waxed old and was stricken with age. And at that time then, we have Joshua, and he calls the elders and the leaders of the people together. He brings them all together, and he reminds them of all that God has done in bringing them into the land. He reminds them of how God has blessed them, of how God has led them, of how God has provided for them, of how God has met their needs. And then he says to them, he says, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes. Joshua says, I have the work done now. This was my work. God gave it to me, and I have it done. And we're going to look at that particular incident again, I'm sure, in a few weeks' time. But note that he has done the work that the Lord gave him to do. He was old, but he was still faithful. He finished well. Joshua was faithful from the start. As the work continues, Joshua remains faithful. He doesn't lose sight of the importance of following the Lord. He doesn't lose sight of the importance of the work that God has given to him, and he doesn't lose sight of the fact that he needed to be faithful to God. He just fixes his mind on serving God and obeying him. You know, it can be very easy when we look around at the work that we do to be full of pride at our own achievements. And we can look at our work and sometimes we can say, look what I did. And we can think that we have done the work and that success has come through us. We can even think, you know, there's no one else. There is no one else who can do this work like me. There's no one else who could serve like me in this regard. I don't believe Joshua ever reached that stage. Because Joshua's focus was upon listening to the word of God and obeying the word of God. Do you know, if God had come to Joshua at that point in time, at the start of chapter 13, and said, Joshua, you're old. I brought you this far. I think it's time to hand over the baton. I think you've gone far enough, and I think now is the time to hand over. And Joshua, I have someone else here in mind. I have prepared them, and I have brought them to this place, and we're going to hand it over to him. I think Joshua would have said, thy will be done. Thy will be done. You see, the key point here is this in verse 1. The key point is not that Joshua is old. Just because it's repeated twice doesn't make it the key point. The key point is not that Joshua is old. The key point is that the Lord said unto him. He did the will of God. Fully aware of his own limitations. Fully aware of his own weaknesses. But also fully aware of a God who was faithful to him. A God who had always been faithful to him. And therefore it was Joshua's desire to remain faithful to God. Joshua wasn't going to waste the years that God gave him by coasting home. He wasn't going to sit back and say, well, I've worked this hard and I've got to this point and it's time for me to hand over the baton now and I'm just going to sit back and let everybody else do the work. Joshua did what the Lord wanted him to do. And it's the same for all of us. It is the case that we may not be equipped any longer to do what we once did, what we once could. But it is also the case that the Lord still has a work for every child of God. And we can do what we can do, and the Lord will equip us for the task. John Butler puts it like this. He says, whatever his age, Joshua was living his years for the honor of God. Hence, when Joshua came to the end of his life, he could say, it was not a wasted life. Wasted years are caused by a character problem. There was no character flaw when it came to faithfulness in the life of Joshua. How faithful we remain isn't determined by our service, by the way. It's not determined by our activity. It's not determined by our visibility. It's determined by how attentive we are to the Lord who leads us on the journey. That's what determines our faithfulness. Now, we've thought about the fact that we have a promise of rest. We thought about that last week, and we have that. And what a blessing that is to our hearts. We know that we have a promise of an eternal home. We know that we have a promise of eternal blessing. All of those things lie ahead for the child of God. And we hold on to those promises, don't we? And we stake our eternity upon those promises. And we say to ourselves, I'm glad I'm ready for heaven. But while we're here, are we laboring? Are we serving while we're here? When we think about how the Lord has been there through all of the various burdens that we face, through the trials and the challenges and the obstacles that come in the journey. When we think about the battles that we've had to fight, how the Lord has always been faithful. How the Lord has always been there. And we look at the life of Joshua. And we see a man who was able to look back, cast his mind back and see what God had done. See how God had brought them clearly to this place. How God would enable him to complete the work. And what are we to do as children of God? What are we to do? Well, we're to be faithful. And if we're faithful, and if we're attentive to our God, that's when we'll be useful. We're most useful to God when we're faithful to his word and we're faithful to him. Apostle Paul said to press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What did he mean? He meant that we were to hold on to the promise of God. All the promises of God. Friends, this afternoon, age doesn't define our usefulness. It's attentiveness to God that defines our usefulness for him. Let's listen to him and let's obey him as he leads and as he guides. Amen.